That's just the night we're having. That's just the night we're having. I had a whole lovely planned intro there. Like, it's just one of those nights. I alluded to the likes of the famous video of Steve Bruce, where he's just sitting at the press conference and he's just, well, this is what we're going to be at tonight, folks. We have the Messiah of the Town End podcast joining us tonight. A special guest, all the way from Coot Hill via Chicago. Pingu, we could introduce the podcast as, you know, season 4, episode 15, but it's just another night, another good beating, another night where we're probably not going to talk much about the match, and that's the problem, isn't it? We will talk about the match, of course, but everything that's gone over the last couple of days, that's gone over, you know, tonight, it's all kind of bombshelled into tonight, and obviously you've been watching from afar, and it's you know, I allude to the figures every week. We're over 100 people watching the show before we even play the music, and that just tells you now. And yeah, therapy is now in session, Frank. There is no doubt about it. I don't think we've ever been tagged in so many tweets before the podcast started as of tonight. But Pingu, look, we will chat. We will start with the game itself. What are we thinking?
I mean, it's shocking.
Welcome back.
Yeah, cheers. I think shocking when you think of the result, you know. And yeah, we were just talking offline about the first half. Obviously, it's the worst possible start, isn't it? You know, conceding that early, and it was like a calamity of errors. And I feel like it's a phrase that I've heard a lot this season. You know, it's a big calamity at the back line, and then your man run through, and look, he tapped it in. When you're one-on-one with the keeper, you kind of favour a lot of the time. No offence to our sponsor, Donald Hanks, from the Goalkeepers Union, but you fancy the striker, you know, if he has that kind of space. But I think it was just... after that, like, we came into the game, you know, the first half, I felt like we were on top, and we were saying offline before we came on that I felt as though, or I was about to put out a tweet saying how good we looked apart from the final third, you know, until we got up into the final third. And then that, obviously we got our goal through Bob Benson, but their second goal, like, just it deflated me sitting watching it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, here we go. It's, again, it reminds me a lot of you know, some of Stevie's games in charge last year as well, where we're on top for large spells, and then you concede, and it's just it was game over at that stage. Like, it was game over at halftime, and it's hard to say because you're still only a goal down, it's 2-1, but like, we never came out the second half. Like, it was just, it's just poor. It's no ideas, no anything, and like, I saw someone tweeting earlier saying that the players, not one of the players, deserve to wear the jersey. I think you're doing a disservice to the likes of Robbie Benson there, who gave us all, you know. But I just, you don't know where it's all going to come from. And obviously, I haven't been on that much this season, and there's a lot I want to talk about. But you know, I've heard people referencing, you know, certain strikers were in the team, we'd be doing a lot better off. But I mean, the service into the striker is brutal. And I feel bad for saying that, because one of the people delivering that service is a club legend and Daryl Horgan. Yep. But the service in the first half, even when we had large spells of possession, I think we had 6 shots in the first half. We only had 1 on target for the goal, but every shot was kind of edge of the box. They had a load of defenders around us, but it came from a good play kind of out wide, and we just couldn't get the ball into the middle, you know. So, yeah, it's just massively disappointing, isn't it? It feels worse than 2012.
I was going to go along those lines. Yeah, it was. I thought it was just me. It seemed to be just. Yeah, I know it's we're running on the verge of, and just look at we don't want to leave him hanging backstage anymore, scratching the little bit of hair he has at the back of his head. Donald, you know, it's like Pingu just said there. You know, and like Pingu said, it's not actually the worst game of football we've played, which is mental. You know, when you consider the, you know, and in the first half, second half, right, we can talk about that as well. But the first half, we were actually okay, I know. But then I've seen after kind of 30 minutes, 28, 30, 32 minutes, like Pingu said, 2-1 down. But there seems to be a half-time lull with this team where whatever's been done at half-time, whatever happens, they've either have a poor first half and then come out and maybe give it something in the second half, which is rare, or nine times out of ten it's the other way around. And tonight we got that. And you know, like Pingu said, you're that 2012. When Filippo was there, we're getting all these behind the scenes, this kind of stories coming out, and all this kind of this aggro, this the anger, and I don't really know how we're going to get round this, Donal. Like, just on tonight's match, anyway. That's probably premium Cooley Distillery whiskey. There, I'm sticking to the water, lads. I haven't got to that level yet. But Donal, just on tonight's match, is it one of them games where, yeah, look, we've done okay, but then it's just like Tony Daly had said, they are calamity of errors. It's just everything Waterford done was in the back of the net.
Yeah, I mean, starting the game the way we started it, was just obviously the worst possible start. But even just that it's a mistake or a poor kick out that starts off the match. And then I thought we played well, like Pinky was saying. I thought we did pretty good for the rest of the half, and then just gave away a silly goal, which comes from a few different things. But there's I might have only missed like 2 minutes at the beginning, but the team selection and the setup and everything that was put out tonight was like, okay, some questions around that. But it's like, what a difference a week makes, man. Like, I was on here last week and things were not positive, but they definitely weren't like this. Cool. This has just been a, never mind the calamitous sequence of events tonight. It's like the whole week has been absolutely awful.
Yeah, and I don't even think, like, even a performance, if the result was the other way around tonight, we can't avoid what happened during the week either. But this has just kind of magnified everything. It's just, when Dundalk, when it goes wrong at Oriel Park, it goes really wrong. We seem to be that club over the last, what are we talking, maybe 4 or 5 seasons. It just seemed to be when the shit hits the fan, it's a massive fan.
And there definitely seemed to be like an inevitability about it as well. Like,
yeah.
When games start, like with a bit of a calamity, not the worst goal calamity wise to give away to start the game, but just once something like that happens, you're like, that's definitely happening again. There's definitely more mistakes in this. And I had said, I don't know what game it was that I was on, but I was saying about the reaction after going behind. We went behind against Sligo and we got back into the game and we played really well. And I think tonight we got back into the game, played really well for a bit, but the second one properly just seemed to knock stuff out of them. And part of what happens, or what tends to happen with, say, we'll say interim managers or new managers or whatever, like that, you get the bounce, like the new manager bounce and stuff, because obviously some players who weren't featured as much or weren't as happy under the previous manager, they get a lift from new voice in the room and everything else. But it's when that starts to wear off that all of the hard work that goes in has to kick in. Like, it has to be that they're well-drilled, they're well-oiled, they know what they're doing, and they're confident in what they're doing. And I don't think they seem confident in the back four and the goalkeeper seemed confident for a few weeks. Now, I know we didn't have the goalkeeper for reasons that we probably can't talk about on the podcast without getting whatever rating attached to it. But the back four was changed beyond the goalkeeper tonight, which I didn't understand. And it just shook the core of the team as far as I could figure out. And the thing that we were doing well, we changed how we were doing it tonight. I'm sure there's reasons why we did it, but I couldn't understand them. So it's just, it's one of those nights on after a bunch of those nights. It was like a Derry game, I thought, as well, the one at the start, or the other 4-1. But the 4-1, that was...
Like I was mentioned there, the likes of the Galway game, and I don't think we've ever seen... In terms of this podcast, I don't think we've ever seen a nice post-match like the Galway game last year. Sligo, even this season, wasn't as harsh. Actually, the Galway game in Oriel Park that night, was that the night we were up with Dane? Was that Dane Massey? That was a tougher night, a 2-0. But yeah, we're getting this, repetitive, not repetitiveness, but this kind of return to this anger. It'd be different if we got a manager in. And I know Noel King, and it wouldn't have been everybody's choice. And it'd be different if there was a manager in place that would have had maybe League of Ireland pedigree over the last couple of months. And right, we can't do it with the squad or whatever's there. But, you know, after Noel King had come in and Gareth and Liam Bourne's doing the coaching, we had a bit of a lift against the likes of Bowes, Shelbourne. We could have got something out of Shelbourne. I felt we could have got a bit more than the draw that we got. But then you're back down with a hammer blow like this, and it kind of shows where we are. Like, I think Galway are now, or not Galway, Waterford are, is it 3 or 4 points off? You know, like, people are saying, like, you know, I've seen the tweet out tonight, mediocre Waterford, and that's what people are calling it. But I mean, they were sensational. Like, that's probably the toughest beating the dog have taken all season of all the games. But it's just lucky we were so outclassed all over the pitch in the second half. You know, it just seemed to, when the heads are down, they're really down.
Yeah. Thank you. I haven't heard enough from you this season. I'll give the mic to you.
What's the word on Chicago streets? Give us your thoughts on everything.
On everything.
Yeah.
One word or do you want multiple words? it's just, look, I think my feeling is this is way worse than 2012 ever was. I think I've said it, and I've said it to Det in our group chat anyway, between us and Steph and Chris, is like, you know, we're in 2012, we hadn't won a Premier Division trophy in what was it, 8 years or something like that, or 10 years, whatever it was anyway. Or maybe it was longer than that, actually. It was a lot
Premier Division would have been
longer than that, sorry. But then you look at it now, we're after having all this success and all the way up to 2019, even 2020, right? We won the FAI Cup, and there's absolutely nothing to show for it. And we've had, we're in our fourth different ownership group in all of that time as well. And it's just,
yeah,
like I just look all the way back to that, you know, with Andy and Paul, that first league win, the first European run. There's a lot of money made, and I know there's a lot of expenses we're taking out of that too, for chartering flights to these different places, to rent and Tala, all that kind of stuff. But I mean, we were on the crest of a wave then, and like there's absolutely nothing to show for it. I mean, we're worse off than we were in 2012, in my opinion. And you can't really blame, I mean, people will blame the owner, because he's the one who's brought in the manager, he's the one that's in charge now, he's the custodian of the club. But like, you have to look back at the other three ownerships before that too, and where does the blame should lay on their door. And I'm not trying to say that this is in any way Stephen Kenny's fault, but he's coming up a lot tonight. And a lot of the success we had on the pitch was at the expense of what's happening now off the pitch. You know, we haven't progressed off the pitch in all that time because we had success. So it's a double-edged sword. Could we have sacrificed a little bit of that success? In hindsight, it's 2020, right? So could we have sacrificed a little bit of that success to make sure that we had the right structures in place behind the scenes? Because I mean, right now we're just, I don't know, I don't even know what to say, Donald. It's just bad. Like, it's the most deflating thing is, and you see it, and I feel it too, is there's a lot of people that they're not arsed watching the matches anymore. And I think even, as I say, I go back to 2012, and maybe it was a little bit different because I was heavily involved in the club at the time. But no matter how bad it was back then, Oriel was always a special place to be. And I always loved going up there, and I love going to away games and all. But like, maybe now with the evolution of social media, it's just toxic. You know, everything is toxic. I mean, I unfortunately got into a Twitter argument with Andy Burton before I came online tonight, but it's like that toxicity is just, it's everywhere, you know. And I know we'll be talking obviously about the Flair incident and talking about Shelby's stuff, you know. It's just, honestly, it's just mad. And Ryan Dillon, thanks for bringing up the Philly Hughes stuff. That's really what I miss, the days where I used to get into silence for free because I tell him it's Philly Hughes. But it's just, as I say, I just feel like this is where we are now, is 10 years in the making. You know what I mean? I don't think it's something that we can blame it on current custodians of the club. I think this goes way further back. It goes beyond peak six. I think it, you know, there was success, and we have absolutely zero to show for it.
Yeah, and I think it's obviously escalated now because of what's happening on the field. And look, even if we did have success now, that is an issue that needs to be rectified. Not tomorrow, but they need to get the gears in motion to kind of fix that. But, you know, thanks, Andy. There's
a heated exchange, Andy. That's what we'll call it.
Yeah, at least look, thanks for tuning in, Andy. I think the biggest frustration for me watching tonight, like you say, Pingu, you know, people are watching these games, people have travelled the world, but I don't know how many went down tonight on a day like today. And, you know, people spend hard-earned money. You know, Friday night, you might have taken a half day off work, or you might have told anybody you were taking a half day off work. You might take a sickie. I don't know what it's cost you. But, and there'd be nobody hurting probably more on the sideline there than the likes of a Brian Gatland or a Liam Burns. Or, you know, Noel King's only in a couple of weeks, but there's players like Robbie Benson, you know, John Mountney's made a little bit of a big error there trying to, you know, on the last goal for the screamer from Asamoah. They'll be hurting tonight after that one. And it's, you know, it's people like that and people. I always see Kevin Mullen. Kevin Mullen's tweeting tonight again. You know, kids down at the game again. Who's to every match in the country. I can't remember the last time I went to the away game for the dog. But these people on the ground know the crack, know what they're watching. You know, we can sit here on a podcast and talk about it, and we don't like to get too analytical over it, or, you know, tactical over, unless Steph's on with his tactical pads that he got from Mark Rossiter. But, you know, it's very obvious that there's a fundamental problem here. You know, and it's this week in particular has shown that, like you say, Pingu, everything that's gone on before has now culminated in this. And we're in the position we're in. You know, we can talk about the ownership being changed late on before Christmas time and not enough time to sign players. But I mean, I don't think that's an excuse anymore. These lads are professional footballers. You know, whatever way they've been sent out or whatever, you know, I don't know if you can just blame the coaching now. I don't know what it is. There's just something fundamental. And unfortunately, like you say, we've been down this road before, 2012. That, you know, peak six, late or peak six, I suppose. It's, you know, you're kind of almost sick of coming on this show. I'm sure people are tuning in to see if we lose our absolute rag tonight and start throwing laptops around the kitchens. But I mean, that's what it's just such a difficult time to be at Dundalk supporter, because you've got a businessman in that's very ruthless, it seems, very kind of headstrong, knows what he wants, whether it's right or wrong, he knows what he wants to do. He's made decisions on stuff, but then these decisions aren't working out. You know, like already we're talking change of manager, transfer windows coming up, can sign players. You know, we're only in May. You know, there's 8 weeks to go to transfer window. Is there? If I'm doing the right, 8-10 weeks, something like that. When's the transfer? July, is it? You know, we're now 6 points off Drogheda. We now have to go and win a good few games, and Drogheda have to drop points at the. If you're a betting man now, you're betting on us to be relegated. You know, like that's, you know, there'll be no money in it at the minute because we're probably odds on.
No, you know, you bet on Drogheda to get relegated if you want to actually make a bit of money.
Well, yeah, if you want to try and make a bit of money, yeah, we're odds on now. But it's just such a dire place. And I definitely think, yeah, you're definitely at the nail on the head with 2012. We're probably in a worse position because we probably have a better squad and the league's probably better. And yet we're still so far off the pace. It's frightening. It really is frightening. Donald, how's that whiskey?
I mean, it's good. It doesn't do enough.
Yeah, like I'm trying to work out
part of the pain, but not all of it.
Yeah, I really need to talk to James Rodger about how many points we had at this stage of the season when Filippo and all that crack was happening. But I don't know how many points you had at this stage of the season. But it needed a change later on. You know, midway through the season, we got our change in Vinnie Pearce at the time, and it worked, and we finished sixth, if I remember. But I really don't know how we fix this. I really don't know. I mean, people are throwing out names. Stephen Kenny going to Pats. That was never I don't think we'd be talking about Stephen Kenny. That won't be happening. But
no, there's rumors going around that he was interested. But I mean, like, we don't have the money. You know, no. Let's call a spade a spade. He's coming from a very, very high paying job at within the FAI for the Irish manager's job. He's not going anywhere for nothing.
No, exactly.
And if we call a spade with the Noel King, and this is nothing against Noel as a person or anything like that, but Noel was obviously a cheaper option, you know, and for whatever reason, I don't think he's on the money that Stephen Kenny would be offered, and I don't think we probably could offer that much more. Yeah. So yeah, I would agree with you. I don't think Stephen Kenny was ever an option.
No, I had the same thing that the idea that if we waited, he might have become available to us. I don't think he was ever going to become available to us, the financial package that other clubs are going to be able to offer to him, yeah, is going to be far better than ours. The situation that he'd be walking into and a few other different clubs in the country would be a lot better than the one he's going to walk into here. I know he walked into the situation in Dundalk before when it was pretty dire, but he was in a different place compared to where he is now. Like, he doesn't need to prove anything coming here. And, you know, the thing that I would imagine he would be looking at is he'd want to get his team into Europe again. And he's obviously not going to get the Rovers job. The Derry job, I mean, I had it in my head for ages that the Derry one was going to be the one he'd take if Higgins moved or was replaced. So if he can't get those two, then if he wants to work in the country, there's very few options left for him. So
yeah.
But I think the thing that Mark mentioned there about the structure of the club, I think that's like, we have to have a bit of context and a bit of, I don't know what the right word is, but we're always to come on these podcasts after the games are over and we're very emotional and we're very upset about the game that we've just watched and messages come flying in and people are outraged and you see the stuff on Twitter, people are absolutely disgusted and burning season tickets and whatever else people do. But the fundamentals of this is like, we have to get so much right off the field. I know Pingu was mentioning this. We have to get so much right off the field before we can get to a point where we're going to be able to challenge teams like Rovers. Like, we are miles and miles and miles away from them off the pitch in all aspects. And some of the work that the owner has done and that people involved in the club have done over the last few months is good. They have done good stuff. But the product on the pitch hasn't been good since the start of the season. And the steps that have been followed to try and rectify it haven't. There's a lack of coherence in some of the things that have happened. I'm probably being very, very nice and conservative in the words that I'm using, but the reason that you would look, like a manager would look at our football club now, even if we decided like, right, Noel's not the right man for it, we're going to change it. Anybody that's looking at how Noel was appointed and the process that went down, that led into that, are going to look at it like, no, I don't want any part of that.
Yeah.
They're looking at the two lads that are on the bench with Noel aren't really meant to be there. One of them's definitely not meant to be there.
And one of them doesn't want to be there. Like, is,
yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. They're not meant to be there.
Yeah.
And what we heard was that they weren't going to be there. There was going to be coaches brought in. They haven't been brought in, and the two boys are still there. So the structure of how the football club has been run from a football point of view is, like Mark said, it just doesn't make any sense at the minute. And they need to figure that out. And the biggest knock-on effect, I think, of so far of hiring Noel is that that structure doesn't make sense anymore. So for potential, you know, new managers, new players, it's just a mess. Forgetting about like all of the everything that's happened years and years and years leading up to this, just right now there is good stuff happening, but what's happening on the pitch and the structure around what's happening on the pitch is just nowhere near good enough. And yeah, like we still have people on the bench that don't want to be there.
Well, that's the thing, Donald, you've hit the nail on the head, sorry for interrupting there, is, you know, behind the scenes because those structures haven't been in place, now it's getting done. So there's a lot of good work being done behind the scenes. But especially for a League of Ireland club, but any football club, it's a results business. So if the first team is, you know, if your first team is struggling, everything else is shite, even if it's not. So we're just on a hiding to nothing, aren't we? Like, really. But to your point, like, we just need to get that structure in place. Absolutely need to get the structure in place. And obviously the person I was alluding to, Brian Gartland, has been very honest about the fact he doesn't want to be on the bench. at the minute he is. And I think part of it is because Noel King doesn't know the players, which he said at the very beginning. Again, we've had a manager who's been honest about it. But we need to get Gareth off the bench and get him to do his job, which everyone seems to be up in arms about whether he can or he can't. He's, at the minute, he's not able to because he's coaching the team. Like, give him a chance to do it and get coaches in to help Noel King coach the team.
But this is the thing, right? So the structure is, for the long term, is what's important. Because we could have, like Daddy was saying, we could have got 3 points against Chels. And we could have gotten, like, a few games we could have won that we didn't win that we drew. Like, and I know that's the nature of football and things are, like, it is a results business. We didn't get the results, so it doesn't matter. But a few results here and there and things are a little bit better. And we're, say, closer to draw and closer to their teams ahead of them. And what will end, what could end up happening is that we'll be happy with avoiding relegation. Like, that would be a success to us because of what the alternative is. But it's just like, we have to want, we obviously all want so much better than that. And we don't have structures in place to achieve that. Like, what we have in place and what we have had in place for a couple of years has led us to where we are now. So everything has to change to get off this. Even if you know, if we avoid relegation on the last day or something mental like that, it's still have to remember all of these podcasts, all of these episodes that we've done are talking about how the structure isn't right. And we can't just get lost in celebration that we have avoided relegation at the end of it. You have to be aiming for something better than that. But yeah, I mean, I'd be the first to say that I have absolutely no idea how we would go about doing it, but we have to have people that do know how to do it. And I don't know that we have those people around. I'm not sure. Maybe we do and they'll prove it, but I'm not sure.
And the worry for me is, you know, if the owner went and done his homework and maybe said, right, let's get this in place, the worry thing, like Gavin mentioned there, the way Noel King was appointed, it sets a precedent for, like, well, you know, I'm going to do my own thing here. Like, we had a deadline for management, you know, of the 20, whatever it was. Peter Hadman had literally put out a statement saying we've a deadline of such and such, and it was only out 24 hours and there's a manager in place. So we've an owner that kind of shoots from the hip, which is great in some things. It's great in some ways to have someone like that who just is ruthless. But then when it comes to on the field stuff, if you get people in place but they're going to be overruled at the drop of a hat, that's the worrying trend, and that's the precedent that's been set here by the way Noel King was appointed. It'd be different if all the people were interviewed and they're just right, it's not going to work, we maybe don't have the money, let's bring someone in that can, you know, carry a bit of man motivation, and then, you know, the lads can do the coaching or whatever way it wants to work. But, you know, if like Pinky, you said there, Gareth going back to the head of recruitment, whatever the job is, off the bench, and then they bring in a coach. Would Noel King be bringing in a coach, or would it be somebody Liam Bones recommended? You know, like, who would even be hiring the coach to go on the bench with Noel? I don't even think it'd be Noel himself. And that's a worrying thing that's going to happen again if this has to be dealt with on the bench, on the coaching staff side of things.
I think that's part of the kind of broader problem with Noel King coming in, is how he, you know, going back to what Gavin McKeever said, the way that, and as you mentioned there, Gally, the way that he was brought in, like, if it was all very sudden, a manager usually gets his choice of his goalkeeping coach, his assistant manager, if he has any other
within coach, reason, whatever,
it just all seems to have happened very quick, doesn't it? You know, I think it was the Sligo game, wasn't it? We were 1-0 down at half time, and then suddenly news was breaking after half time, 24 hours after Peter Halpin released his statement, Noel was coming in, and then Noel was in by Monday. So it doesn't give you a quick turnaround to get a coach to come with you, you know. To make a decision. So, I think that would be a question that I would have too, is who does make that decision? Is that, to your point, is that Noel's decision? Is that going to be Ian Scoff's decision? Is that Gareth's decision, who comes in as a coach? Who, like, we don't know that at the minute, but yeah, that's where I am.
Donald could, you know... Like, already we're talking...
Sorry, I'm going to forget to say this. We made a call to Noel when we were 1-0 down at Sligo. So we made a call to a King 1-0 down at Sligo. I think Pat's made a call to the king. They're 1-0 down, they're overs tonight. But anyway, sorry, Gary, I just, that was in my head. So go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, like, you know, with a different, look, like, what are we, four games into this kind of this setup? Is it four or five? I've lost count of the amount of defeats and bad games we've had. Four, I think. Will it change in management fix this team? Or is it a change in tactics? Or do we need to get to the window and say, right, I wonder with a 6-point gap, walk, if we were still 6 points off at the transfer window, could you get one or two players in and say, right, let's throw a bit of money at it? You know, with a different manager, if we were to say, right, after four games already, let's change it up. Could some kind of coach come in and coach these players? Could it be a thing where maybe they're lacking in, not ability, but maybe it's just a little bit of confidence. Maybe they just need somebody else that isn't Noel King on his own, I suppose. You need someone, maybe go get a top-class Irish coach, someone who's maybe over in Chicago there, comes from Coot Hill, might come over and fly in. Or do we know, is there somebody there with contacts in the league that say, right, is there a top-class coach that could come in and say, right? Basically, what I'm asking is, could a coach change these players? Is it something that is ingrained in them now? They've gone on that bad of a run that we're going to be stuck like this until we sign new players, if we can sign new players. Because this group will be relegated as they are, as they sit.
Well, you know, Kylian Mbappe is out of contract at the end of that season, and I think he'd be open to coming to play in Orient.
Would he come in for 20 games for £1 million? Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go fund me together. We'll all chuck in a few quid and we'll bring Killian to Oriel. No, you see, this is one of those things where, like, you look at, we could bring someone in, do like the Big Sam thing, that you can bring a manager in who'll keep a team up.
Mm.
And then you get a month or two into the next season and things aren't working and he goes and you start again. And we're in that sort of scenario now. When you're in these relegation battles, you're just looking for quick fixes because you just need to get out of it. And the point, like we were saying that about the structures and everything, and what Pinky was saying is right. It's like that whatever happens on the pitch is the most important thing. So they need to avoid relegation. So you're going back to making decisions based on short-termism and being like, right, I need someone to come in, give the lads a lift, and get us through these next few games. And I'm sure we could do that. I'm sure there's managers that could come in and do that. I'm sure, you know, I'm saying this, like, and we have a manager who has an 18-month contract, so I can't see that.
That's the mental thing. That's the most frightening thing of all of this,
Yeah, if that's not an end-of-the-season job, but...
If I was Brian Ainscough, and there's one person who has experience of getting us out of the shit, just won a cup with Glen North, I would be looking to get Darius Cairns in as the number two for the end of the season. One of the best coaches I've ever worked with. Done a great job of getting us out of the hole in 2012 as well. You know, got us some of the right results at the right time. But Darius is a good lad to have around the players as well, because I think,
and has experience at this, you know, albeit a couple of seasons ago, but has experience at the level. Also was at Pats and Drogheda, and you know, like, it has plenty of experience at League of Ireland level for the men's.
Yeah, but I think was you, Gally, asked a question a few minutes ago, is it about the players' ability, is it about confidence? I think it's both. I think, you know, the players we have now have not the same ability of players that we had in previous years, but confidence is low. I mean, you just have to look at the goals tonight. When that second goal went in, and I think this is what we talked about before you came on, Donal, it was like, right before half time, but it was game over at that stage.
Yeah,
you know, in my opinion, we never came out. But I would, as I say, I would 100%. I'd be making a call to Darius and seeing if we could get Darius in for the end of the season as a coach. Because I just think he's just one of probably the best coaches that I had the pleasure of working with. So and he loves the club too. You know, he is, despite being a dirty drug, he actually has fond memories of Oriel, and he's a friend of the podcast. We might get some more inside scoops as well if he gets it. But
he famously interrupted Chris in the car park.
Exactly. But that's the one man, and he's actually the one person that has never been mentioned over the last while, either about coming in any capacity, but he's one straight away I would have would be Darius.
That's what I mean. Like, so, like, you know, a different type of coach, someone who can, obviously, yeah, someone who knows the club, knows the league. And look, like, Don, you just mentioned, you know, so a Sam Allardyce team to come in. This is what we kind of, you know, strangely thought might happen with Noel King. We said, God, it could be something, you know, after we got over the initial shock. But because, like, you know, somebody had said, I think it might have been, I can't remember, was it Frank? I can't remember. Somebody said, he doesn't even get off the bench. He doesn't walk the sideline. Nobody sees him. He just kind of sits. So there's no kind of, you need that presence. You know, you need that. If he's going to motivate, he's not motivating the dressing rooms 4 minutes before the kickoff or the 15 minutes at halftime. You've got to be motivating them all the time. And, you know, we kind of did hope a miracle of miracles that might be, and that could be something that they look at. But, you know, old school man management, it feels like they need that. But then, like Pingu says, you know, Darius would have that, have experience at the club. And I think there's plenty of coaches in the league that would opt to kind of help out, where even if it's only till the end of the season, I do think they're going to need someone, especially like Pingu says, like Arts wants to do his job that he was hired to do. You know, when it's definitely something that, you know, it needs to be looked at and addressed very quickly. I don't think he can wait too much longer on this. It's got to be rectified fast.
Yeah, but I think we need to look at what's out there, but also what's affordable too.
Of course, yeah.
You know, to come in, because just thinking about it, like Ian Morris is probably another shout. Hasn't been in the game since he left Waterford. Probably would be a good number two to come in. Because as you say, Noel King's on an 18-month contract, so people can say all they want to get rid of him, but he ain't going anywhere, I don't think so. So it's just getting that coaching staff right. But Ian Morris obviously got promoted with Shells. Yeah.
Hired a good number two this week, didn't he?
They did, yeah.
Yeah, he was on that 39 minutes and nobody's mentioned it. Go on, yeah, but yeah.
It's just been a hell of a week. There's so many things you haven't mentioned yet.
That was the third craziest thing to happen this week. But yeah, I mean, I think that's where we need to be looking now. And hopefully we're not the first people to bring them ideas forward. But hopefully people behind the scenes are looking at that and are looking at coaches. But that would be another one that I would say Ian Morris could be another decent shout to come in.
Just taking note of this, Ian Morris, Darius.
Anybody but me, Gally. I'm fucking,
you're too expensive. I can't afford your Pingu. You're too expensive to come in. Jet fuel and all that. We can't fly in. But it's, yeah, and look, of course, we're like, you know, obviously, I don't know how much we can talk about the match because you don't really want to go over it and over, but obviously we've had a massive week, as you just alluded to. I don't know where we want to start on this, boys. We can obviously go back to the last match. We can talk about, you know, referees and performances and then what's going on after the game. And obviously, Donal, you've mentioned Stephen there as well, getting in a pose. But Pingu, where do you want to pick this up since you haven't been off with us in a couple of weeks? I'll let you kick this off with whatever order you want to go in this in. We'll start with maybe the third is obviously Stevie O'Donnell, is it?
Maybe we'll give away the pizza for who wants to decide. Do we want to talk about the flares or do we want to talk about the discrimination first?
Ask this in a way, Pingu, you'll understand. But Pingu, what do you want to talk about?
<What's that all? laughs> I suppose looking with the flares, because that was obviously the biggest one for the majority of the week. Actually, I'll let Chris talk.
Welcome, Chris. Chris, here we go.
What's the crack, lads?
How are you getting on? We're just in the middle of discussing. We've kind of half discussed the game, but we're more concerned with, you know, everything as a structure and a management kind of. If you've missed it, if you haven't been listening yet, Pingu's already thrown Ian. Look, he's way
he
off.
Gave up.
I'm in the middle of talking to him. He's gone. He doesn't want to know, lads. He comes in here part time. He's away filming games all week. He doesn't want to know it. Pingu, go on, continue. I'll mute him the next time he jumps in.
I suppose, we'll start in the flares because that was the one that kind of the big news story for at least the first half of the week. Like, I don't know, did you discuss that at all last week? Or was that kind
of, myself, Steph, Jane on the last one, Jamie McDermott kindly came on and had a chat with us, and we kind of went over it. Look, it's there's an argument that it would have, you know, and it was an argument rumbling on Twitter that it actually slowed the game and added to the time, and this is what undone it. But you know, the winner was scored in the 92nd minute, so it didn't add too much time, but I think it more kind of disrupted the flow of the game and allowed maybe. The big argument was that it allowed, the argument actually wasn't even the pyro. It was actually the fact that Drogheda got to regroup and chat to the manager and talk. But I mean, I don't know if that's an argument. You know, you're playing against 10 men in a local derby. I don't know. But as an incident, it just can't continue to happen. It's
from what I understood, the Flair came on and was like leapt like a salmon at the back post and headed the winner in for Rahada. Is that not what happened?
Leapt like a salmon, isn't it?
But yeah, no, I think when you look at it on merits, if you look at it from a purely footballing context, it's like there was 76 minutes before the Flair went onto the pitch. You know, that was 76 minutes where we didn't use any momentum to go and get ahead in the game. We equalized, but there's where there's a little bit of disconnect for me. Is yes, you can say it slowed it down, we had momentum, etc., but there was still that added time plus the 76 minutes prior to that to actually get ahead in the game. So I don't buy that. I think that's a poor excuse for to say why we lost. And I think one of the reasons why I did want to bring this up is obviously there's been a lot of chat on social media, on the message boards, etc., about these lads throwing the flares. And obviously, it's a stupid thing to do. It shouldn't happen. I think 99% of our fans would agree that it shouldn't happen. But also, we're not the only club that does it.
Yeah.
Like it feels, again, and this part of the toxicity that I talked about earlier, feels like there's a certain element of our support want to talk down on the shed side lads all the time, and they're tarring the whole shed side group with the one brush when stuff like this happens. And I know Steph got into it, and Jane, one other podcast mentioned about they wouldn't be able to live with themselves if they threw the flare on the pitch and then Nundalk ended up losing the game. And like, for me, they're young lads, and I don't mean to be throwing out the mental health stuff. Obviously, it's mental health month, but one thing that I talked with someone about a couple of years back when all the lockdowns, etc., were lifted is these young lads that are causing trouble. And this isn't just a Dundalk thing, this is more a societal thing, and it's more, you know, it's more prevalent than we think around the league. But these young lads, they didn't get Debs, they probably didn't get to graduate college, you know, they missed out on a lot of stuff during the lockdown. So there's a lot of pent up anger and pent up whatever messing. I don't know the best phrase to use, but like there's a lot of pent up something in these lads, and they're going and causing trouble. And as I say, I'm trying to generalize this, because we've seen it at Shamrock Rovers where they let the firework work off in the stands and hit one of their own players. We've seen other clubs be banned this season. You know, Shell's got the ban not that long ago and couldn't get any players to go to or couldn't get any fans in the Galway game. So I think we have to look at it as a bigger issue. And I've been chatting with friend of the podcast, Stephen Todd, this week about it. And it's kind of like, at this point, I feel like it's very difficult for the clubs to police, because flares are always going to happen, right? Yep. They're not going to stop. And they're also going to clubs, the league are going to use flares, photographs with flares for their social media. So it's very easy to say that we can't allow it. And again, I'm not trying to defend it. We shouldn't have it. Like it shouldn't be allowed. But there has to be a safe way to do it, almost like a gentleman's agreement to partake in these. And I'll just give the example of out here in America, you know, Chicago Fire playing at Soldier Field in our games. And we're not doing much better, by the way, than the talk at the minute. But Chicago Fire, actually, they have a supporters liaison officer that works full time for the club. They work with the supporters groups, and they have the smoke. I don't know if it's a smoke bomb or like a smoke flare, so it doesn't actually light up or anything like that. So the fans will let them off, and then they drop them into these massive buckets. So they kind of just go off naturally. I think we got in trouble a couple of years ago for similar flares when they were going up into the gantry or whatever. But like, I think there has to be a way, and I think the FEI really needs to take ownership of this, as I say, because it's not something that's happening. Cold flares, thanks, Frank. Because it's not something that's just...
No joke, I thought that term was actually a piss take.
I think it's something to do with where was
it? Those awards in Saturday Night Fever, wasn't it? Cold
players. But you know what I'm trying to say. I think the FEI needs to take ownership of it. Part of what I was saying to I think it was said it to Steph, and I definitely said it to Todd this week, is, you know, we have a social responsibility officer now in Aoife Burns, and if like she should be having a conversation with these lads and figuring out a way, you know, because it's going to happen no matter what. So just figuring out a way to better police that and police it internally. I did see some suggestions that, you know, the shed side lads could police it themselves, which there's an element of truth in that. But also, the biggest thing in all of this is, why aren't Drogheda getting most of the abuse for this? Because they let the lads in with the fucking flares in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, it always seems like if it's at home, we can take the blame. If it's the away fans at home, we get fined. But somehow we get in trouble when it's at an away game. That's the one thing that at least it feels like. Maybe it's just because my Twitter is Dundalk Twitter, so I just see the complaints, etc. when it's our fans. But Drogheda United stewards are the ones that are incompetent, in my opinion. And I just, apart from Darius Games, I don't really like Drogheda people, but Drogheda stewards, as I say, are the ones who let these lads in with the flares, and they should be, you know, nobody's mentioned that this week, you know. So as I say, it should never happen, and I'm not trying to give these lads an out, but I do think that there needs to be some sort of a conversation had, because I think it's getting too much for any club to police, including their own. But this has been going on for 10 years now, you know, so. That's where I stand on the flares. Donal, I'd be interested in your opinion on the flares.
The flares. I remember having those, like, you know, the big wide leg cords that you used to gather up half the puddles on the road, and you're up to your knees and be soaked and you'd be dragging like threads and stuff. The thing with the flares is always that people talk about the atmosphere at League of Ireland games. Flares are a massive part of that, but it's also then, you know, poo-pooed and people who don't, you know, go to games. But people that are at games do complain about it too, I should say. But I can't really add much more to what you just said about it. And I think we've had two Chris's since we started talking about flares, so we should probably let Chris talk at some point. I'm only saying this because I have nothing to add to the flares.
We'll bring him in from the road, wherever he is on the road there. Christopher.
Apple green at Lust.
Ah, sure, nearly home.
Trucking on.
Just
on the pyro thing and that, like, I think, like, when does, like, to go on top of Pingu's point there, like, when is the FAI really going to step in and do something? Do we have to wait for someone to be badly hurt and then we'll do something about it? Like, where there's like an incident where someone is severely scarred or there's something like that has happened. Like, it's too late at that stage. I think the FAI, when they were, I think just back after, kind of when all the streaming and everything started during the lockdowns, like, we purposely do not show any flares, and the FAI are not allowed to use any flares in any of their promotion material for the past 2 years now as well. So in that sense, they're not using the pyro anymore to help it. They did previously, but they don't anymore. But I think at the end of the day, because it's illegal, like, it shouldn't be there. I'm saying this for the simple fact as well, as I'm in a gantry and I'm asthmatic, and it's not fucking pretty, lads. I'm telling you that now. I'm always struggling with coughing behind the camera.
That's one of the reasons why we want it, Chris.
Yeah, to get rid of me. It's working. You know, the fact that, look, one of the main reasons RTE cameras won't go back to Drogheda, won't go back to Dundalk, is also flares. I worked with the TV crew the last time they were there. I worked on them on horse racing the next day, and they all complained and said to the producers that they won't go back there because the whole gantry was full of smoke and it's not the conditions they should be working in. And they're right. So, like, unless there's some way to do this that's not, you know, is a more open area of a ground or something, that's the only way it can be done. But under its current guise, I just think that it doesn't work. We, was it against Shamrock Rovers last year? The club begged everyone, don't bring pyro, don't set off everything. And it was a cracking atmosphere still. So we've proven we can do this before. So at a time where we've got, you know, we complain that we haven't been able to get good enough players in or whatever, And if we get to the time where we get to the next transfer window and we still can't buy in any half decent players because we've had to pay everything out in fines, well then who do we blame for that?
Yeah, and I think, go on, Pingo, sorry.
The asthmatic cameraman. That's who I blame.
So, yeah, look, I would agree. Like, I like the idea of Pingu, like, you know, you're at Chicago, whatever that, like, because it does add to the atmosphere. Although, look, it's not, it's a nuisance when you're kind of watching it, when you're watching a stream or the LOI TV or RT, whatever it is. And it's a good point Chris has raised that RT cameras won't go back and stuff like that. But it's something that, you know, there needs to be a happy medium there. Pingu's hit the nail on the head. There needs to be a happy medium of, you know, letting it happen, but within the safety and regulations of whatever that come up. But it can't be that difficult to sort it out. I like the idea of, yeah, what Pingu's brought up. But I got a message here, a text message to say, you know, enough about the pyro. Can we get on to the goalkeeper? So, lads, obviously, I thought it was actually Wednesday. Was
oh, man, I thought you were done with the game. Oh, no.
So yesterday,
goalkeeper's union's going to take a hit tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. We should have brought Tom on as well and Donald Green.
Can I just say one last thing about the Flyers? I know, and it's not actually about the Flyers. It's about Chris saying that he's like worried about his health in the gash to smoke, and then Gally saying it's a nuisance to be can't see the game. Sorry, it's just there's the priorities of two people: one's health, and then one's June.
All for atmosphere, Donald. All for atmosphere.
Sorry.
Smoking was legal.
Totally right.
22 years ago. But it's obviously
you spoke. I
still remember getting the message. I think it might have been yourself, Don, where George Shelby 10-game ban. I didn't know what you were talking about. I had no recollection. I completely forgot that he was sent off after the game. So just to give anybody who's been under a rock for the last couple of days, it's for a breach of regulations on racism or discrimination and abuse towards a match official. Now, look, we've heard stuff that's come out since and what he said. And you know, Chris, you know, you, I think, you, I don't know if you're filmed, you may have been a prayer, but sorry, Donald.
What did he say?
I'm not going to, I don't know if I can repeat it. Are we even that watershed yet? But, you know, Chris, just for your take on it. You know, in case it's a hefty ban. I mean, you're talking to 20, I think he had it the 20, middle of July, near the end of July when he's back.
Yeah, look, but if you're to use any sort of racist slur in a derogatory remark to anybody, I think whether this is on your nationality, your race, your color, I think it all comes in under the one banner, and you can't accept a little bit of one thing and none of another, or go, you know, I think you have to go all in on this. And he's overstepped a mark. He's, you know, broken an offence on that, and by the merit of that and the fact that the club aren't appealing this, I think it shows the severity of what was said, how it was said. And you know, the lad's a young enough lad, he's only 23, he, you know, needs to learn from this. That sort of language is unacceptable in football. You know, if you could laugh about it and say, you know, he's giving out about someone being Irish, but you know, he used it in a derogatory way. And if it was any other nationality, if it was about someone else's color, we would be completely all given out on this as well. So I'm glad to see the club just rolled in behind it, aren't appealing it, because I think it's right.
Mr. Hanks.
I don't really want any part of this. He got a ban for saying something he wasn't supposed to say. I do think some of the reactions have been a little bit strong. From people on social media. I get it, like Chris says, that's they're the guidelines, they're the rules. That's the punishment that's laid out for offences like that. It was all of the, you know, let's fire him from a cannon from the square and stuff like that. Those kind of reactions that I was like, okay, that might be a bit much. But I get it. Like, that's punishment for what he said. I don't know him, so I don't know. I'm actually starting to feel like I might be in Kenny Dalglish after Luis Suarez. I don't know him. I don't know the man, so I don't know what way he falls in any of this stuff. But I think there's, look, that's the thing. Most things I've said, but look, it is what it is. I did. You shouldn't laugh at these things. It's very serious, obviously. But I did say it to somebody that I know who doesn't follow football, that someone had gotten a 10-game ban for it, and they just laughed because they thought it was a funny thing to have said to someone. So I guess it depends on who you are. But no, look, it's the rules and rules. So I said I had nothing to add to this, then I'm after going off for about 5 minutes, so I'll just stop talking now.
Chicago Bull.
That's discriminatory, Gally, so you can't call me that anymore. Look, obviously the punishment is in the rule book, so the punishment is fitting the crime in this respect, but I do feel, you know, that to Donald's point, I feel like the reaction has been massively over the top from the majority of people. There's people saying he should be thrown out. There's people saying he's a bigot against Irish people, which I don't, again, I wasn't there, but I think I made a joke comment to Donald. I said, did he call him Irish, an Irish whatever because he's Irish, or did he call him an Irish whatever who happens to be Irish? You know, like, none of us know the context in which it was said. The referees picked it up whatever way. He's been banned. The lad has apologized. He's apologized to the referees, apologized to his teammates and everything. I don't think this young lad is a bigot. I don't see it. And I think some of the reaction, like, there's lads on Twitter, and this, like, I've referenced this obviously throughout the episode about the toxicity. There's people on Twitter that are calling for him to be sacked, who called Filippo and Giuseppe Mario and Luigi. They were calling Mike Tracy, Bill Hulsizer, etc. Yanks. My mate Andy Burton that was on, there's people that have said stuff about him being British. What's the difference? Do you know what I mean? Like, what's the difference in all this? So I don't see it, and I just feel like it's very hypocritical. I actually seen one comment on Oriel Webb against my better judgment. I went online there today, and I saw some comment where someone likened him apologizing to Hitler apologizing for his atrocities. And that's where we're at now, is everything is just fucking hyperbole. You know, and again, I'm not trying to diminish what he said. He said what he said. He's getting banned. It's all been done by the rules. But I think we just all need to take a step back here. And not everything is the worst thing that ever happened. You know what I mean? It's just fucking, it's just mental. It's absolutely mental, some of the reaction to him. I think, let him serve his ban. He's going to be feeling shitty as it is, especially after a result like tonight, because he'll probably have felt like he could have made a difference. Yeah. And he'll come back, and he's the one that's going to have to live with opposition fans, and he's probably going to have to live with our fans now having a go at him. But he has to go through that, you know. But the fear I have and seeing some of the reactions, honestly, is, you know, just what is going to happen. But it's just, as I say, it's, the reaction is just way, way over the top for me. I don't understand why people are putting on it because he's English. But then I think Donald Green actually might have made a thing yesterday about how stupid the argument is. But are we discriminating him because he's an English person that said it? If a Scottish person said that, a Scottish player said that to the referee, is it the same? Are we having the same reaction today? And he gets punished for the same thing? Probably not. It's because he's English, you know. So there's, Donald didn't want to open the can of worms, but they're wide open now. what's your take on it, Gally? Or sorry, Donald, go ahead.
No, I'm still waiting for someone to tell me what he said.
He called him an Irish whatever.
Oh, whatever. That's yeah.
I think there's an element of. Go on, Donald. Yeah, go on. Sorry.
No, I was stupid. I was going to be stupid.
Yeah, there is that element of, you know. Yeah, because he's born and bred in England, and, you know, it's an Irish game, Irish referees, it's in the League of Ireland. I mean, yes, absolutely, he shouldn't have said what he said. 10-game ban. Look, if it's if that's what it is and that's what the rules are, like Pingu said, like, you know, well, like we said already, then so be it. You know, he has to live with that. Like Pingu said, you know, it's such a pity because, you know, we've had a situation with the goalkeepers already this season, you know, where we started with Munro and then started with Shelby, changed to Munro and then gone back. Munro's come in tonight, loving the chance to get in the game and hasn't had a great night at the office, albeit, you know, up against Asset Moore that had an excellent game. But yeah, it's a pity for him, young lad, early 20s. But I just hope it doesn't follow him around. You know, at the end of the day, you know, he's come here to play football. He's been signed for Dundalk and, you know, we want players to be playing. We don't want them to be chastised for everything that they do. I mean, geez, in all the years I'm following Dundalk, I've probably heard 10 times worse on the pitch. That's gone probably unpunished because it's just the way we are and it's just the way the time we live in. And it's such a pity. But look, they have to get on with it. He's got to get on with it. Hopefully he comes back and plays. I don't think he should be sent back and anything near it. But look, it's just unfortunate for him. And yes, absolutely shouldn't have said what he said. But I would agree with the fact that I think it could be worse, you know, because of where he's from. Look, I don't want to go down a slippery slope here, but I think, look, it's been dealt with now. He's got his ban. He's missed that first of nine tonight, or first of 10 tonight, nine to go. And look, it's going to be a long couple of weeks from him. But yeah, look, it's been done now, and we just have to get on with it. We just have to move swiftly on. Unfortunately, the result for tonight basically looks 10 times worse now than it ever was because a goalkeeper's come in and we haven't had a great night as a team, and that's just unfortunate. But look, we move on, and look, hopefully he comes back stronger forward and he thinks about saying anything like that again, unfortunately, you know. But yeah, look, we move on and we get on with it.
The timing was the real bad thing on it, you know.
Yeah.
We just lost the Louth Derby, you know, with the last kick of the ball where we didn't play great. That comes out, you know, where we were going to be in a bit of a downer as a club this week anyway, and we just didn't need his reaction that ended up being the ban and the publicity then that went with that. It's like bloody kicking a dead horse when it's down sort of a thing, isn't it? It's like, could we Dundalk have a habit of just shooting themselves in the foot like this sometimes, and it just seemed like we just done it again. It's like, you know, could we have tried to rally back around as a club and, you know, try our best?
His signal gets worse the closer we get.
Completely taken away from that.
Shot himself in the foot.
Yeah. Chris, your signal gets worse the closer you get to home.
Exactly. Can you hear me now?
So, obviously, we're going to mention Pinga. Do you want to do your top three? We've gone through two. We want to get on to the new appointment and wish him all the best and Bose, or we just paper over the fact that our ex manager is now the assistant manager of Bohemians? Donald, come on, you had your finger up there, you had your hand up there like a school child in class.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the other managerial appointment that might be happening.
We can
get that one. But Pinga, what do you think of Stephen O'Donnell and Bose? Can't hear you, buddy.
Probably better off at this stage. what do you call it? Yeah, look, he'll do well in those in his recycled training gear now up in Bohemians, writing poems on the sideline. But best of luck to him, I suppose. But just not too much luck because, especially against us. But it's just mad. Like, we've had such a mental week that's the kind of non-news story. You know, because of everything that's gone on. But yeah, I don't really have an opinion one way or the other. He's not Dundalk's manager anymore, so best of luck to him. Just do what he has to do.
Donald, do you want to mention the other managerial rumour going around tonight, or are we skipping over that as well?
The only thing I'd say is that he's not actually signed it yet. There could be a few things at play in all this. I don't have any inside information or anything, but a journalist close to St. Pat's putting that information out. I would just see. We'll see if he actually ends up becoming Pat's manager. That's all. Stephen Kenny, that is, not Stephen O'Donnell.
Yeah.
I think he's done that already.
Well, obviously, back home, back to Football Matters. Chris, are you with us? How's the signal getting on?
I'm still here with the dead horse.
So following tonight's trip to Waterford, we now move, you know, we mentioned it the other night, myself, Steph and Jim, we now move to just the small matter of Shamrock Rovers at Oriel Park. What do you do now? What do we go for? What is it? Just gung ho now? Is it just do we look for a Bohemians inspired type of just let them play? I you know, it's we've, you know, just for context, we've Rovers, Galway away, and then Derry at home. Rovers next week, lads. Who wants to put their cap on it there?
Well, here's the thing, like, we've just played two away matches, lost both of them, but we're still unbeaten in, is it four or five? What are we unbeaten at home? Four or five?
Five could be, yeah. Five.
Like, so we have to find a way to keep that home record going. We were giving out about draws and everything, but Jesus, would I take a draw now in that match? These, like, draws are no good to us. They're absolutely no good to us because it's not closing the gap on any of these other teams. But
it's four. Sorry, four at home.
Four. Yeah, I can't see us keeping a clean sheet. I can't see us keeping a clean sheet, but yeah, like, all we can do hope that...
I got something.
Go. Thank God for that.
Sorry, I got something that'll give everybody a boost ahead of next week, make everybody feel better. It's four games unbeaten at home. Noel King hasn't lost against Shamrock Rovers in over 20 years.
Get in there. In there with a bullet, Donald. Facts. Absolute spitting facts there.
He hasn't played them in 20 years, of course.
Neither have I. I've never lost to Shamrock Rovers. Yeah. That's the positivity we're looking for here, Donald.
That's what I'm here for.
Thank you. Shamrock Rovers next week. Look, no matter where we are in the league, no matter how we're playing, we always look forward to playing those type of games. They're always a, I wouldn't say a treat for the eyes, but I mean, you know, some games are a disaster, but I mean, it's a good game to go and watch. It's a good game to get the kind of that. There's probably no point in calling it rivalry anymore because it couldn't be any polar opposites. But yeah, look, it's always a good game to get up for. If you can't get up for games like this, you're really at the wrong club, I suppose, aren't you?
Yeah. You can, but when you say you look forward to it, I remember 2012, we went and lost 7-0 up in Tallaght.
That's right.
So when you're in a rut like this, I don't really look forward to them games, if I'm being honest with you, Gally. But look, while we're on, there is something that I just do want to say, kind of going back to earlier, because obviously we talked a little bit about Gareth on the bench, and look, I'll make no mistakes that Gareth, you know, I have a good relationship with Gareth. He was there for me when, you know, when I lost family members, etc. But also, I've been talking to people that are involved in the club now since the start of this season, that probably nobody knows about, that is involved in helping build the recruitment side. And Gareth is getting thrown under a bus every week for picking these players, for him being the person that picked them. That was never part of Brian Gartland's remit. And I just want to make that clear while we're on the podcast today. And Gareth's role was to negotiate the contracts of the players. His job wasn't in the recruiting side of it. And if anybody, you know, if anybody has an issue with that, go and speak to Gareth himself. But that's a fact that Gareth, and I've heard that from him himself, but I've heard that from other people that are now associated with the clubs, that he didn't pick the good players that we have. He didn't pick the bad players that we have. His job was negotiating the contracts. So put that rumor to bed now that he's the one, or put that to bed now that he's to blame for everything that's going on. Not saying that, you know, he'll probably hold his hands up and say there's stuff that he could have done better, but to turn around and say that he's the one who's responsible for the whole mess, because I'm seeing it again tonight. The minute shit hits the fan, people are blaming him straight away. So I just wanted to make that clear before we wrap up.
I heard it was him that threw the flare in as well.
It was actually him that called the referee an Irish whatever as well.
Can he do the camera next week so I don't get smoked out of it then?
Lads, have we...
have descended into chaos?
Yeah, I think we have. I think we're, you know, it's such... I like, in a way, you know, we know what to expect in podcasts like this. We know when it's post-match, we're now, what are we? We're just under 2 hours past the game. But... It never gets any easier when you're dealing with results like that, especially when you know that they can play better. But at the end of the day, we're just not getting it. And it's, you know, maybe a game like Shamrock Rovers next week might be just something that maybe kickstart a bit of a run. But the worrying thing now is, and something that people need to really, like, 6 points off Drogheda is an absolute, you know, considering where we are, there's nobody coming behind us and we're not chasing anybody else at the minute. It's a worrying time to be a Dundalk fan over the next couple of weeks. I mean, you're talking, like, not to state the obvious, but we've Dundalk, Galway, Derry and Pats, you know, that's one, we got two of those games. It's a split, two at home, two away. I mean, they're all cup finals. You know, they really are. It's, Chris, I don't know what the feeling was. I know you weren't at the game tonight, but, you know, if you're hearing it up at Talca Park or anything like that, but it's we're in dire need of some points. And we need now a swing from Drogheda for them to drop points, which is unlikely. They might drop enough that we can pick them up on the way.
Yeah, like there's Drogheda picking up a point in Talca tonight without Gary Deegan, you know, and they played well at times. And you just think, where are they dropping points? You know, it's... I just feel like Monday night just really was a punch in the gut from, you know, we were trying to build back on something, trying to, you know, getting the first win, couple of draws in there, trying to build a bit of momentum. But I feel like that loud derby defeat really is... knock the stuffing out of us again, and it's going to be a hard job for the whole management team right now to pick the players back up again, because yeah. If you look at the goals tonight, you know, we're back to players just, it reminds me of that Derry match where, you know, they just want to take pot shots from everywhere,
yeah,
because we just, like, we seem to stem the flow of goals there for a while, and been such a light touch when it came to conceding goals, but it's back again, which is the real worrying point for tonight. And I think that's going to be the hardest thing, you know, when Shamrock Rovers come next Friday, they'll smell blood in the water. That, you know, we know Dundalk are the easy touch. What do you got to do against them? Score early, because all their heads will go down. So that's what we got to stop. You know, look at the times of the goals that we conceded tonight. You know, first 2-3 minutes, the last 2-3 minutes of the half and the first half. Like, that's just inexcusable. We got to keep levels of concentration. We got to just be a lot smarter about what we're doing and start playing small, you know, seeing out 10 minutes. Can we get through the next 10 minutes? Don't do anything stupid. Don't concede any goals, right? Can we do the next 10 now and start building that way? Like, it sounds so basic, but I actually feel that that's what we need to get back to again and start winning these little battles till we can get ourselves back into it, to a position where we can actually go and win a match. Because just looking at those last two, we just seem to be the easy touch again, and we've got to stop that, because that's what got us into the situation at the start of the year. And we'll be caught well adrift if we don't stem that very, very quickly.
I don't know if Duffer's done his interview after the Shells draw with Drogheda, but I wonder if he's happy with the point that he got against Footballing Gods in Drogheda, or if he was disappointed.
He was very disappointed. He said, actually, before... Maybe I stole this off him then tonight, because he said that before Drogheda equalised, he could smell it in the air that their equaliser was coming. You could smell it everywhere. You could smell it on the pitch, he said. So
that was your man's chicken roll you could smell, wasn't it?
Yeah, must have been. We, you know, not enough sauce on that one to override the smell of Drogheda, clearly. So the last thing we want is Shamrock Rovers coming smelling us as well next Friday.
I need to cut that. I'm going to cut that. The last thing we want, the Shamrock Rovers come and smell at us. I need to cut that. That's going to be our advertisement from the show. Yeah, look, lads, I think after 1 hour and 17 minutes, I think we may have to leave it there. Have we, you know, Is that gung ho for the next couple of weeks? The comments that are coming in are absolutely flying. Pingu, we've obviously left it up to you. Obviously, you can see our ticker tape across the bottom. Because we didn't give away a pizza last weekend, there was a shout to roll over the pizza until we win the match. But people mightn't get fed until August. We don't know what way we're going to go here. But Pingu, have you picked out? Pingu's been scrolling through a lot of comments. Have we picked a winner?
I have, Gally. I'm just not telling you who it is.
Right, I'll scroll through to find out what the one you've picked.
I am going to pick Ryan Dillon for definitely not Steph McKevitt. I'm picking Ryan Dillon for the Philly Hughes throwback. So I really appreciate Ryan Dillon for that. Before we do wrap up, just really quick, and we're not going to get into a big discussion about this, but Donald Green did ask a few minutes ago off topic for our thoughts on the referee.
Yes.
And the only comment I want to say is the referee was so bad, I think every one of us called for a penalty for Waterford. Yeah, in the second
100%,
half. 100%. That's how bad the referee was.
I couldn't believe it. Like, that just summed up his night. Yeah, an absolute dial.
Discussing it, Gally. That's enough.
No, we're not discussing it. Chris, you've just come back on there, but we're just going to leave it. Ryan Dillon, enjoy the pizza. Nobody's won one in 2 weeks. If we've done a rollover, look, like I said, nobody can find. And we give away 10 pizza the one night, maybe in September. Lads, look, appreciate it. We move on to Rovers. Unfortunately, move on to Rovers. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I might give them something, but we move on next week, and I think we just have to hope for the best. And until then, I appreciate everybody listening. Our sponsors, obviously, before Chris shoots me, our sponsors, Dundalk Village, Donald Green, thanks for commenting. Nice to see Andy Burton as well. Thanks for watching, Andy, all the way from wherever you are doing your business tonight. Appreciate that. I think we got to maybe 700 views tonight as well. It's always a big one on a dodgy night for Dundalk. Tony's Pizzeria as well. Playoff it for Oggy. I've gone old school to magic up some old school results here tonight. But lads, look, until Shamrock Rovers next week, come on.